time. Number 11, I've thrown in as my outsider, Shelley's Girl. I think she's a bit underrated. She won well here last start. Again, just a bit of an unfashionable trainer-jockey combo, often gives you the good odds. And then I've got number 6 for 4th, Bubbles and Boats, who is racing very consistently, but she doesn't win out of turn. I've gone 5, 3, 11 and 6 in the last, but found it very tricky.
And Josh likes 3 from 5, 6 and 1, 3, 5, 6, 1. Now, Nick, what's the best back today?
By quite some distance is clearly race 6, number 7, I Am the Lady. Huey Bowman Rise has been very well back since markets opened. Hopefully, punters are on the money there. That's race 6, number 7, I Am the Lady.
All right, Paul, your best?
Yeah, just a ditto. Race 6, number 7, I Am the Lady. I suggest punters jump on to tap fixed odds and take that $3 because it won't be lasting. I know Brent's already mentioned he's got it as his best. Yeah. Look, we both declared it last start and we got beaten, but I think fitness beat us there. We'll get the money again today. Race 6, number 7, definitely the best. I Am the Lady.
Yeah, I agree there, Paul. Not only just the fitness, she also gets a good turnaround at the weights, dropping down to the 57 kilos. And the plunge on this horse was very significant a fortnight ago. They were really stepping in to back her. And even though she was narrowly defeated, the run was full of merit. And the way she paraded suggested to me that she would definitely improve with the run. So with that under her belt, I can see her getting a similar run. And whatever you had on last time, have again and you'll be in front. Race 6, number 7, 9's a lady, the best for me.
Good on you, Brent. Have a great day. Paul, you too?
Yes, we'll do. Thanks a lot, Sean. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Quinny. We'll catch you throughout the day.
Thanks very much for that, Cozzy.
It's just past 10 o'clock. I'll catch you tomorrow morning, Racing HQ on Grafton Cup Day.
Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slab.
Broncos lock Corey Parker talks about Cameron Smith.
When Smitty made those comments as a captain, at no stage would he have known the severity of what had happened to Alex. So he is a very, very kind human being. And, you know, look, he's the captain of our country. You don't get to be a captain of your country if you're you know, a guy that sort of goes around, you know, being like that. But in due course, he'll obviously come out and, I suppose, have a talk about it.
The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slab. Weekday morning from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One. Brought to you by Tab.
Tab has two massive jackpots, each worth $25,000, riding on the Grafton Cup Carnival. Today, there's a $25,000 first four jackpot on the Crow Haworth Ramorny Handicap. And tomorrow, there's another $25,000 first four jackpot on the Herb Blanchard Haulage Grafton Cup. Two big days of racing at the Grafton Cup Carnival. So get your mates together and have a crack at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
For Saturday afternoon winners, don't miss Saturday morning's Racing HQ.
I'll go with the 8th Sir Mako at the $5.50. I think he offers the best value.
He's picking up Sir Mako, going to the front, and Sir Mako ran down beyond thankful.
That was Paul Joyce. Then there was this from Michael Fraser.
Look, I've settled on Soviet Courage, Glenn Schofield on board.
He's a half in front, pulling away the last bit, and Soviet Courage wins it by 3/4.
You'll never have to knock on wood with our experts on Racing HQ Saturday. From 6:30 a.m. right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
This station endorses the commercial radio codes of practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GPO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
Data has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Fields sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set. They're off.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
Yes! Yes!
The 300 in close and a goal for the Wanderers.
with the very latest in racing and sport from around the country. Welcome to Tab Talk.
Good morning. Good to have your company. Simon Harrison with you. It's coming up to 5 minutes past 10. There is a New Zealand race from Matamata, which is due in 3 minutes. This is their first, and the favourite in New Zealand is Three Shima at $3.70, two pinstripers at $4.40. Before we head to Matamata, let's head to Jared Middleton from tab.com.au. Good morning to you, Jared.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. How are you? What a day it is. Origin and the Ashes. It doesn't get much better than this in the sporting world.
No, it's been a big week over the last 7 days, and this week's no different. We have our first special guest on Tab Talk this morning, trainer John Sargent. He's with us now. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning.
Thanks for being a part of our program. We just thought we'd give you a call and see if we could run through your runners for Canterbury this afternoon.
Yeah, no problems.
The track has come up a soft 7, and we do have the rail out 8 metres. We'll take a look at the first race just before they line up there at Matamata. Three-year-old maiden to kick this card off, John, and you've got Paragon, who's first up off a trial, and Rory Hutchings claims 1.5 kilos.
Probably in need of the run. He's a star resuming. He should get out to a nice 1.5 miles this campaign, but I'd say they'd be a bit sharp from today. But as long as he's running home, I'll be happy.
Is it 30-1 chance too with tab.com.au? In race two, John, you've got Dylan Diva, $8 chance, second start behind Tatush, though. That was at Wyong last night. Now, Tatush won last week at Tamworth as well. Must give you some confidence.
Yeah, it's a bit unlucky that day. Actually, Wyona Colston rode it, and I had her in to tell her what she did wrong. She was in the zone to get up and over, and she didn't, and she got caught three wide in front. So she's made up for winning on Queen of Kariba lately, so that's the main thing. But no, I think the horse has gone on with it. It's not a big horse. It's only a small little filly, and from the nice draw, it's got a bit of speed. It should be right in the firing line, and I think it's trained on. I think it's a good chance today.
So Dylan's Diva there in the second. The third race, you've got Water Diviner. This two-year-old's come up with Barrier 1. Second start today, and Ty Angland takes the ride. Jumped well last start at Canterbury and just got grabbed on the line.
Yeah, Ty owes us one here as well, actually. He dropped the stick first start. It ran out on the turn, and he went to change sticks and dropped it, and probably cost him the win. From the one draw, he's got a fair bit of early speed. He'll be right up there, either leading or trailing, and I think he's a nice colt to go on with it. He's a super-looking horse, this by Equiano, and I think he's probably my best chance today.
Okay, so the heavy track last start at Canterbury, so the slow 7, no, the soft 7, rather, no dramas this afternoon.
No dramas with him. He handles either, and he's a horse that I think will carry on and be a nice prospect in the spring.
$4 joint favourite too in race 5, Ziggy Willie from Barrier 10's an $8 chance. So John, first up, fourth in a trial at the farm. Has a one win from 7 starts, but 6 placings, so it's clearly got some talent.
It has. Probably get back from the draw, need a bit of luck. I'm using this as another trial. Has got the ability to be right in the finish, but got the brakes. It can gallop this horse, and it's a lot stronger this time, and I think you'll see it go through a couple of the grades this campaign. But today, treating it like a trial, we'll go back and go for luck. So it'll need it to sort of probably be in the first three.
I noticed some nice bloodlines there with Sabeel through the sire and Desert King through the dam.
Yeah, no, it's that sire, a lot of people wouldn't know. He was hot favourite for New Zealand Derby, won a little lead-up runs, and he didn't fire in the Derby, and he got injured and went to stud. But he's throwing some nice staying types, and not a lot of mares go to him.
Okay, gentlemen, I'll come back to you in just a moment. They're set for the first at Matamata.
And K-Leg was first to break the line from Shima going forward. Right there is Alfie making a line of three. A length away next, Siriana, followed by Harvest Maid on the inside, A Pretty Woman. Pinstripe is next, then So True, and three lengths away last of all is Pinterest. And the run down towards the 1,000 metres mark, Pacemaker Shima takes it up, leads a half length on K-Leg. 1.5 away, third on the inside, Harvest Maid, and with it also is Alfie. Out a bit deeper, Pinstripe. Siriana came next from Pretty Woman, 4 lengths away, So True, and a further 4 lengths away, Pinterest is last. As they leave the back straight for the first time today, 700 metres to run. Pacemakers are on the inside, K-Leg again, matching motors with it. Shima, they lead by two lengths from Pinstripe. Then came Alfie, followed by Harvest Maid, then Siriana. Five lengths away, Pretty Woman under a ride, and going past it was So True. And a further six lengths away is Pinterest. Up towards a home turn they come, 400 metres to go. K-Leg on the inside with Shima. They still lead by 2.5 here as they make the corner. Out wide, Siriana looks to run on, followed by Pinstripe, and then Alfie further back into So True. At the 200 metres, K-Leg the one to catch. Out by three or four lengths now from Siriana. Shima running on is Alfie, and then Pinstripe at K-Leg. K-Leg with 100 metres to go is well clear here. The battle only for the miners. Alfie moves to second from Shima, and then came battling on next with Siriana, but K-Leg is easy as you like at the line. K-Leg bolted in, second over was Alfie, third at the line was Shima, and then came Siriana from Pinstripe, Pretty Woman, further back So True, then Harvest Maid, and last throughout was Pinterest.
The first of Matamata to one K-Leg, ridden by Trudy Thornton, 5.30 and 1.40. Second to five Alfie at 2.40 and three Shima for third at $2.10.
Let's get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now we are having a chat to John Sargent and running through his runners for Canterbury this afternoon. Down to race seven, the last, John. You've got Bankster's Bonus running for you. What can you tell us about this seven-year-old?
He's a nice horse. His next Hong Kong horse that won the Irish, the Ulster Derby, actually, and he got injured up in Hong Kong and came back. We gave him a year out, and he showed good form this first campaign. This will be his last run today, win or lose. I think he's done enough, and he'll have a good run probably over Christmas. But he'll probably get back a bit from the one draw. I think he's a horse that we've found out needs has got a short, sharp sprint because he's won at Canterbury doing that, and he's won all his races in Hong Kong at Happy Valley, which is a tight turning track. So he'll need the luck with a rail out 8 metres, but if he gets the brakes halfway up the straight, you'll see him finishing over them. So I think he's good value at about $6 today.
He's had a win at Canterbury over the 1900 on a soft seven before as well. So 61 kilos doesn't worry you too much?
No, I thought they're claiming, but I think you need an experienced rider if we want to hold him up. And Danny Beasley usually rides him, and he's suspended. So he's won with that weight in Hong Kong. So he's a big, strong horse. So, no, that won't worry us. And Kieran McAvoy's in form.
We've got him a $6.50 chance with tab.com.au. Just wondering, he was a big drifter at Rose Hill last start when he was fourth behind Morris there. John, now, we mentioned his win there at Canterbury. That was on a soft seven. Is it one of those horses that probably doesn't want the track too heavy?
Yes, that's true. And also Rose Hill, Danny sort of went forward a bit and was waiting for other horses inside him to put some more speed on so he could get in behind the leaders. He ended up outside the leader and got exposed. And this is a horse that's best hidden away, one last sprint at them, and that's what he needs. And I think the track at Canterbury, like they call it a soft seven, you know, in New Zealand you'd call it nearly a firm track. It's a lovely track, Canterbury. It'll suit all runners today.
Okay, John, well, there a look at your starters this afternoon. Just before we let you go, I was hoping to get a couple of updates on some of your other horses. First of all, Centre Pivot won a trial at Rose Hill yesterday.
Yeah, he's coming up very well. He'll be aimed probably Melbourne in the spring if he comes up over the carnival here. He's a good stayer of the future. He wasn't pushed about last night. Blake Shin likes the horse, and he should go through the grades. He's still below the 100 grade, but he should go up into open company this time in.
And Kira Moses back in work?
Yep, she's back. She's finally got rid of all her injuries. And she'll be aimed down to Melbourne in the spring. She'll have a couple of runs here, then we'll get her down for the, obviously see if she's going to be up to the cup level.
Hopefully she can recapture that form as a three-year-old when she took out the VRC Oaks.
Yeah, she just had bad luck, and last season she won a trial getting ready for the spring and saw the next day and had a crack in her pedal bone. So that's healed and everything's fine with her. So she's coming up extra well, getting through long, strong work, and I'll probably start stepping her up next week to some three-quarter pace.
And an update on your ATC Oaks winner, Gust of Wind?
Gust of Wind, we had some bad news during the week. The owner of Gust of Wind and a lot of my horses and David Hayes' horses, Oliver Wong, died. But his wife's going to retain Gust of Wind, and this horse has come up very well. I think the big problem, as you know, for the Oaks fillies and Derby horses going from their own age group and then taking on the big international horse and that at four, but I don't know if I've had a horse spell as good as her. She's coming looking like a five-year-old. So I think we might have a horse that will step up in the spring, and her main aim will be the Cup, because I think she'll do 2 miles on her ear. She's just a big one-pace type of horse, and they can stay all day. So everything will be centred around that race with her.
Okay, that's very encouraging. And your Derby runner, Omeris, what's the latest with him?
They came in, Hong Kong guys came in yesterday to look for him for enormous money, but hopefully they won't buy him, because I do rate the horse. If you saw his Derby run, you would have saw the Joe Moreira got his whip stuck in its mane and ran off to the stand side of the race. And,
oh, that was the reason, was he got his whip caught?
Yes, he went to change his whip, the world's best rider. And,
yeah.
He got it stuck in the mane, and it was a very good run considering, because it's a horse that also needs to be hidden away. It's got so much tactical speed and got a big finish, so hopefully it won't be sold. And I think you'll see a nice horse, but I think it's a horse that will be best in the autumn. I'll probably bring it to Melbourne for a one-off run in one of the miles or 2,000 metres to teach you, have a trip away. It's never been away. Mm. And I think the autumn you'll see the best, because it'll measure up against the top liners then, I think.
And just a quick one on the ladies, Thunder and Swift.
Yeah, Swift Lady starts on the Water Walker. She stayed up in Brisbane next week on Monday. She'll start on the Water Walker. And Thunder Lady has just been, that was one of Oliver Wong's horses as well. Well, she's just been sold to Sue Owen Glenn, that owns Criterion. And she'll carry on racing out of my stables, and she'll go to Criterion when she goes to stud eventually, so whether it's this year or next year or the year after. But that was finalised in the last 24 hours. So that's great to keep her, because I think you didn't see the best of her in the AJC Oaks, because it was a heavy track. Mm. And she'll be heading down to Melbourne and nominated for all those big staying races.
Oh, good stuff. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing them in Melbourne, and looking forward to seeing how your ones go this afternoon. John, thanks so much for being a part of Tab Talk this morning, and good luck at Canterbury.
Anytime. Thanks very much. Cheers.
John Sargent. So there you go, Gerald. That was interesting to get a couple of updates on some of his big guns heading into the spring.
Yeah, he certainly had some news there, didn't he? And, also, just keep an eye out too for Queen of Kariba. He's got down to run on Saturday at Randwick. He virtually, without doing so, of course, virtually tipped it up to us on Tab Talk a couple of weeks ago before its run at Rose Hill, and ran very well as well. So that's 1-2 straight, a 3-year-old filly by Lonro. So one to watch too for Saturday at Randwick.
Gerard, I'll come back to you in just a moment with our next guest. Billy Moore is going to join us to chat about Origin. These greyhounds are nearly set, though, for the first of 12 from Hattrick. One Another Pearl is at $3.60.
In the last minute or so, Multi-Chaser into the three, Plating Puss in five, Box 7, Corborne Marcy on debut. Here comes the second line, MCD, Belk Road, Chief Baxter and Sammy Baxter. Lined and ready for the first of the day. Favourite goes the inside, Another Pearl. Could she bag a precious win today? Was set. Racing, Another Pearl, fair break, Multi-Chaser gets out best, Belk Road's jump fairly, Another Pearl pushes through the inside, they'll be followed through then by MCD, getting a run underneath 102, trying to get around them, trying to get a run through on the inside here, would have been Sammy Maxter, Chief Baxter's back with Plating Puss, round the corner, Multi-Chaser's on the bunny, extra weight, no problem, bolts in, Another Pearl, another placing, MCD is third, followed across there by Plating Puss. Next to go by was Sammy Baxter, Chief Baxter, Belk Road dropped out, and Corbel Marcy didn't have it on the call, she was back throughout.
Hattrick Greyhounds, the first heir to three, Multi-Chaser, $4.90 and $2.20. One Another Pearl, $1.60. Two MCD is at $3.30. And those numbers with correct weight matter, matter, 1, 5, 3, and 4. Now, you are listening to Tab Talk. Jared Middleton is with us. And now, former Maroon himself, Billy Moore, joins us. Billy, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Very well, thanks.
Excellent.
Now, Billy, good to talk to you, mate. The Courier Mail front page this morning, we do not leave the field without victory. To what extent, mate, is that a tone of almost desperation? Is this golden era coming to an end? I'm guessing you think not.
Well, mate, everything does come to an end. There's no doubt about that. But tonight won't be the finish. The curtain won't fall tonight for Queensland. Father Time, obviously, is moving on for what has been the greatest side in Origin history, and their record proves that. This is the 10th year under the reign of Mel Meninga, and this will be the most significant game under his tenure. The result tonight will reverberate for a long time. Justin Hodges' last game, and there's a bunch of 30-plus somethings that are in this side, and those players don't want to retire. They want to keep playing Origin next year, and maybe even the year after that, and they know the currency of Origin is victory, and for them to trade on and determine when they decide to go out on their terms, they must keep winning. And tonight is a huge game, the biggest game probably in State of Origin history. And for those Queenslanders, tonight is about putting up, because they know if they don't, everyone's going to start calling for their head. So what's a massive game for Queensland, but the curtain hasn't fallen yet, my friend.
It just seems so significant, this one. I mean, we say every time there's a decider that it's the biggest game ever, but this one just seems to have that significant edge. Now, New South Wales came from 0-1 down twice before and won Game 3 in Queensland, 2005 and 1994. Now, you played in that game, Billy. What are your memories of it? Probably not fond ones, but and what can say today's players learn from that experience that you went through in 94?
Well, that 94 game was significant because it was Mighty Mel's last game, which is quite pointed. It's his birthday today as well. So there's a lot of symmetry around this, isn't there? Well, that game was decisive, and the lesson to be learnt there is if you don't lay the platform, it doesn't matter what attacking weapons you've got. If you don't lay the platform in the forwards, those attacking weapons can't fire properly. Now, we've got everything. We've got arguably the greatest back line, again, in the history of Origin. When you've got Cronk, Thurston, Hodges, Inglis, Boyd, mate, that's a great side. We've got a couple of young guns that are forced their way in. That's plenty of firepower. There's points there. But unless our forwards bend back the New South Wales line, and unless we put a dent in them, we saw the blue wall in Melbourne, and it won't be any different here. So our forwards have to lay the platform, and especially our bench. I said disturbingly pronounced the New South Wales firepower in the last 20 minutes of game two. We've got to match that from the get-go. And then our bench, when they bring on David Clemmer, we've got to match it with Josh Papali'i. So what's the firepower from both benches? It's going to be something to watch.
Yeah, you're really touching on the emotion of Origin. It just takes into the inner sanctum a stirring speech or something when it was like, we're not going to lose tonight when you were playing, because I've no doubt there's going to be moments before the game tonight where the players are going to look at each other and go, win at all costs, just about.
Well, I suppose the most poignant thing to convey to your listeners is I never wrote this word, but it's the biggest brand in Queensland, and that's Queenslander. And what that means, it started back in 89, and you saw the first public showing of it in 1995 when I came down the tunnel. And what Queenslander means is no excuses. What it means is you get back and help your mate. You find something special when there's nothing left in the tank. And losing is not an option and not accepted. So that's what Queenslander means. The Queensland public love it. But that's something that might reverberate through this team, because they know they're up against a very good New South Wales team, and it's superbly coached. So our players have to be at 100%. We can't win if we play 99%. We have to play 100%. We've got to lay the platform. And then Hodges out wide with Inglis flying in the back line, and Cronk and Thurston, they can pull the strings, but our forwards must not relent. And I know they won't, because they know the significance of this game. It's a packed house. It's going to be great TV viewing audiences, all those things. But what this side has really been good at over the 10-year tenure is the word legacy. They want to leave something behind. They're leaving behind records that will never be surpassed. And for them last year, they want to make that an aberration. They certainly don't want to make it the beginning of the end of the reign of this Queensland team.
And then who do you expect the Blues to have at hooker tonight, considering what's going on in the lead up there, Billy?
Either player, they're fantastic, both those players. And both of them, Queensland save a special spot to give them a rev. So Queensland don't like either of them, so that won't be... I just can't see how you can have an operation. I'm obviously old-fashioned. I can't see how you can have an operation and be 100%. So I expect you'd have needles and all that sort of thing. So I would think that if Robbie Farah plays, it'd probably be a blessing for Queensland, because if he's 1% off in a game like this, in a position he's going to have to play, because he'll be replaced, his only replacement will be Josh Jackson, who's not a number nine. I can't see how that's going to strengthen New South Wales. So if it was mine, I'd be going with Michael Innes. But if they play Farrup, good luck to them. But, you know, the other number nine isn't that a story in itself. Cameron Smith, he'll be looking for a massive game, and he'll do a lot of talking after the game, but he'll save his best words for on the field and then watch a big performance from the Queensland Australian captain.
It has to have been a tough few days for Cameron Smith, no doubt. What Blues players would Queensland be most wary of, considering what went on in Game 2?
Well, obviously, the New South Wales forward pack got the better of Queensland. So it led very well up front by Aaron Woods. So we want to be ripping into him and James Tarno. Actually, I haven't seen James Tarno play as well. I think he's in career best form. So we've got to match those two big front rowers. And then, obviously, Paul Gallen at the back row and off the bench, David Clemmer. He was very forceful in game two. So, as I say, we'll have to match him and look for big games. Obviously, with Parley off the bench, but I'm looking for massive games for Matt Scott and Nate Miles up front. But especially Sammy Thaiday, he's come out and said he hasn't been his best and he hasn't been in this series. So expect a man-of-the-match performance from Sam Thaiday. The other player that has been great and we have to watch is Josh Dugan, the number one. Obviously, our custodian in Inglis is magnificent. But Dugan has played fantastic. And he's probably the X factor in that back line that can do something special. And well, he may not score the try, but he usually wreaks a little bit of havoc and upsets the Queensland back line and they create space for someone else. So we have to match him and watch him very carefully.
He's our best back too and our man of the match market now. Billy, a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, holiday at the Sunshine Coast. You've still got a peak to join up there, do you?
I do, actually. A little editorial, thank you, my friend. Dude. Winner of the world's best pizza comp twice and winner of the Australian title over the last couple of years. At the moment on the specials list, a magnificent pork belly pizza. So please get all your listeners to drop in. I promise I won't cook.
Oh, thank
you. World's best. They must be good.
They're pretty good, mate. I'll back us in a pizza challenge anywhere, anytime.
Well, there's been plenty of hype surrounding the decider. I think the last time there was a decider at Suncorp, there was one point in it in favour to Queensland. So good luck with it all this evening, Billy. Thanks very much for being a part of our program this morning.
Absolute pleasure. And look, everyone's strapping. This is going to be a magnificent game of rugby league. And I'm hoping and expecting Queensland to win, but there won't be much in it.
Thanks very much for your time, Billy. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Billy, well, there you go, Gerald. That was good to get a couple of comments from Billy.
Yeah, great to get a Queensland perspective. And I think anyone who's watched Origin in the last 20 years, well, it is 20 years since Billy Moore was walking down the tunnel there at the Sydney Football Stadium, yelling out Queenslander. I vividly remember it. I love Billy Moore because I was a North Sydney Bears fan, but hated him when he pulled on the Maroons jersey. So, look, it's one of the iconic moments of Origin, and he's a great fella, and you know he still lives and breathes it. He's got a massive day today too. He does a lot of corporate stuff, as you can imagine. Everyone wants a piece of Billy Moore in Queensland around Origin time. So great to get him on the phone and get the Queensland perspective. And you just could feel the emotion in Billy's voice of how much this means tonight. I mean, Queensland, and I almost think it is a tone of desperation on the front page of the Courier Mail today. We do not leave the field without victory, because you can almost get the sense this is it for Queensland, because you know they've had this golden run with this amazing group of players, and all of a sudden maybe it is coming to an end. And if New South Wales wins tonight, then I think we can safely say that the golden era is over. And New South Wales are $2.20 outsiders, Queensland $1.70. They're at their opening prices. This is the shortest price New South Wales have been for a game at Suncorp for 9 years, 2006, if this price holds. But we're almost holding dollar for dollar. It's nearly 50-50 money's running as far as the head-to-head market is concerned, Simon. So I would have expected it now to be drifting towards Queensland, but it hasn't. It's actually come back towards New South Wales in the last couple of days. So it's just such an intriguing contest. It's going to be, well, they call it the Cauldron Suncorp Stadium. It's going to be a furnace tonight. It's going to be absolutely pumping. I cannot wait. And so many markets you can bet on with tab.com.au. Make sure you have a crack at the first try scorer too, because if you back any player with your tab account or rewards card and your player doesn't score first but scores later in the match, we'll give you a bonus bet up to $50 equivalent to your stake or equivalent tab rewards points. And Simon, we've got the Ashes tonight. What a night. The Aussies $1.90 for the first test. England $4. The draw $3.50. So a stack of markets you can bet on there as well. Steve Smith, the favourite to score the most runs in the series at $4.50. Mitchell Johnson, the $5 favourite for most wickets in the series there. So as far as sport watching is concerned, tonight is probably as good as it gets as if you're an Aussie and you're in New South Wales or Queensland.
Absolutely. Jared, thanks very much for your time on Tab Talk this morning. We'll touch base soon.
Sounds good. Thanks very much, Simon.
Jared Middleton from tab.com.au. And just incidentally, in the player at the match market, Jonathan Thurston is the $6 favourite. In just a moment, we'll take a look at New South Wales harness racing at Young with Courtney Rees. Tim Newbold will be up in around 15 minutes to preview Wentworth Park. We'll take a look at the late mail at Canterbury with Trent Langskill at 11 o'clock. Then we'll look at Bendigo with Trent and then, of course, Grafton on Ramorny Handicap Day with Gary Cleese. We'll have Gary on at about 10 after 11. It's just gone 10:30.
Tab has two massive jackpots, each worth $25,000, riding on the Grafton Cup Carnival. Today, there's a $25,000 first four jackpot on the Crow Haworth Ramorny Handicap. And tomorrow, there's another $25,000 first four jackpot on the Herb Blanchard Haulage Grafton Cup. Two big days of racing at the Grafton Cup Carnival. So get your mates together and have a crack at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
It's official. Radio advertising generates the highest return on investment.
It's a love bet.
I said the highest.
It's a love bet.
No, come on.
Okay.
It's a love bet.
That's more like it. New independent research comparing loads of actual sales data has confirmed that when it comes to ROI, RADIO is the clear winner. Hardly surprising when you consider that each week, 95% of Australians tune in to the radio station they love. So if you want some serious advertising ROI, add radio to your marketing mix ASAP. Just search radio.
There's a twilight race meeting at Young this evening. The first of seven races due at 5 after 5. And Courtney Rees joins us now to help find us a winner. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning.
Good to have you on board. Let's run through this card at Young and see what you can find for us. The first event is for three-year-olds and older, and it's due to jump at 5 after 5. There's no scratchings here, a field of 10.
Very difficult race to kick off, but I've gone with number 3, If You Can, to defeat 5, 9 and 1. If You Can has been better in his last two races, the third at Young and the fourth at Bathurst, and draws well for this assignment. I've put him ahead of Mac and Cheese, who is disappointing in her first run of arena, but she gets another chance here. 1-5 starts back in Victoria before making an early error.